Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
G-I-G-G-S. No. Rodrick.
Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
It's opinion. I respect your opinion. Maybe in your opinion Messi is better than me, but in my mind I'm better than him. I do it again.
Me, everything is on me, gon' back it up. Matter what, told you I'ma do me. Why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck. Country heart, I'ma cop a farm and go act up. Like scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm back up. Keep it real, I do this once a month. I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. I'ma buy a car, hard car, car, take it, tat it up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up.
No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low. Then we lay low. Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up, bankroll.
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation. Welcome to Rodri Giggs on Football, the home of brutally honest opinions, no agendas, just non-stop football talk as we fly around and we talk all things football from the Champions League to the Premier League, but a championship, whatever it may be, we'll fly about. And we also have a new top 10 list this week where we'll be discussing later on the top 10 Premier League goals of all time. So usually at this point, we'd have a Super Six charity league prediction update. Unfortunately, it's Will's birthday, and he got absolutely he had a few shandies last night, and he's been feeling rough, and he's been out all day, so he hasn't got an update for me, which is unfortunate. But all you need to know is said under Rodri's name, so that we'll leave it at that, and then we're good, mate. That's all. But I am, as always, joined by ex-FC United, Salford City, Bangor City, Aberystwyth Town, a few others. Mr. Rodri Giggs, how are you, my friend?
What's happening?
Just frantically trying to change that thing into your name now, aren't you?
Yeah, I was gonna change it. I'm gonna leave it. I'm gonna put I was gonna put something else, but yeah, I'll leave it for next year. Yeah, two times super six loser. Oh my god.
Well, mate, there's loads to discuss, but I saw something quite interesting just now, well, about an hour ago on social media. Trent Alexander-Arnold and Haaland kind of like trading little barbs. Haaland kind of responded to something that he had said and said, look, I won the treble last year. He doesn't know what it feels like. And I guess the question for me, which I wanted to put to you, is because I know how I feel, but I'm interested in what you think. Is there an asterisk next to all of Man City's success in recent years because of the Chargers? Or is it they won it, that's it, and end of?
Well, there's an asterisk against Liverpool because it was like COVID, wasn't it? They got the cup.
Oh, when they won the league.
So, but yes, you've got a point, yeah. But you know, it's just squabbling, just two kids squabbling it. Who's got the bigger toy?
Yeah.
Go up, fellas, come on, let's get on with it.
It'd be funny though, wouldn't it, if like just from a neutral point of view, it would be funny to see the meltdown if they do whatever they do with those charges and they get found guilty and the rest of it, and they start distributing all those titles and things from the last few years to, like, I think, is it Jose would get a Premier League medal for a first time at United, and he'll be loving that, wouldn't he? Like, it's kind of interesting to me, but it's just I blame the Premier League, mate. I do, ultimately, because it's taken so long that, like, it does every time Man City wins them in or whatever, it's kind of like 115 charges. So I think until that's sorted, you can't really.
And it'll drag on. This will drag on for a bit.
Do you think it's the Premier League which is dragging it on, or do you think it's the lawyers
and money's no expense, so lawyers will be the winner at this one, I think.
Yeah, well, this is it, isn't it? It is a tricky one, I guess, because until they're found guilty, you know, they've only been charged, so it's all like alleged and all that sort of stuff.
But you know, it's not the players' fault, is it?
They still won the tournaments.
Yeah, exactly. So that can't be taken away, but you know, possibly it can. I don't know. I don't know how it works. It's unprecedented, this. So we'll have to wait and see how it unfolds.
In fairness to Pep, I believe he said something, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I believe he said something along the lines of, if they're kind of found guilty or they're found to have cheated, that he'd be off and he'd walk, which would be like a fascinating kind of side thing to it. If he kind of washes his hands of it and stepped away and
lose all them trophies and lose the manager as well, that'd be very nice.
Yeah, you'd be loving it. You'd just be watching from the sideline, celebrating your league title.
Hey, now go on, Pep, go on, leave him.
So the kind of first story I wanted to start with this week is, obviously, on the weekend we had a Manchester derby. He's trying to forget about it. As a spectacle, it was fairly one-sided, particularly in the second half. But like, I saw a lot of United fans and people moaning about the way United set up and the way Ten Hag they played, particularly, you know, it was very on the counter attack and that's not the Man United way and blah 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 blah. Right. But my point is, he had probably second and third string players in the starting 11 because there was no one else available. And his bench was effectively a load of kids and a big money signing who has done not a lot, shall we say, if we're being nice. So, like, I'm not really sure what else people expected from that. Like, if United try and go toe-to-toe with City with that team, they get spanked 6-7-0. So I don't know. I thought United were all right for an hour. I'm not saying they were amazing, but I thought they were all right for an hour. They were set up defensively solid, and they were using the things that they have got, like pace and people who can play, you know, the balls in for those pace players to play on the break. Do United fans want to dominate games and compete with the top teams? Of course they do. But one, they're not there yet anyway, because it's in the middle of a rebuild in terms of getting rid of players, getting players in. Two, they've got, like, their injuries this year are just mental. And three, he's having to rely on a lot of kids who should probably, you know, the likes of Garnacho and Mainoo should probably be playing like 20 minutes a year, starting the odd game. There's no way, Ray, right? Like, don't get me wrong, Kobbie Mainoo is a superstar and I think he's incredible. But he should be playing, you know, every other game, coming off the bench sometimes, not be the first name on the team sheet. Like, for a club the size of United, they should be bedding him in gradually. Same as Garnacho. I think with Garnacho, people are some people are on his back a little bit, but like his decision making is not going to be top class because he's what, 19? So it takes time, doesn't it?
I totally disagree. It's the best place for him. You know, if you're old enough, you're good enough. So if the team was doing well, you probably wouldn't have seen him. So they wouldn't get these chances. So, and they wouldn't mature as quickly as they're going to if they're getting this type of experience and excelling. So, against seasonal internationals, Champions League winners, all kinds of stuff, all players with all different kind of accolades, and they're outshining them. So, totally disagree. Over the years, Manchester United, look at Marcus Rashford. When he came on the scene, he burst on the scene and he never started, never, he was always playing. Same as our kid. Yeah, yes, he dipped him in and out because he could do because he had a very good squad. He had Lee Sharp, he had Andre and Chelsea's. United haven't got the luxury to do that. So they've had to fast track these kids because they know they're good enough. They're good enough, they're old enough.
Fair enough. Right. And like I say, I don't disagree with your point about if they're good enough, they're old enough. I just think that in an ideal world, they'd be bedded them in a bit more gradually.
Everything now is down to data and stuff. So they'd be monitoring this stuff, fatigue, especially at his age. They'll all be monitoring this stuff. And if they're not seeing it, well, I'm not seeing it on the naked eye. So, and they're not. So, if the data's not saying that, then, you know, I think Garnacho, they did dip him in and out at the start. Manu, they've thrown him in the deep end, but he's excelled beyond belief. So, yes.
With Ten Hag, mate, and that Man City game, like, am I wrong? Like, what else did people, like, what else can Ten Hag do with the players available? If he sets up to try and attack City, they take him apart. So he's got to set up to try and be solid. And he's made that mistake before where he's tried to go toe-to-toe with teams which are further along in their development or already there in terms of competing at the top level. So surely the right thing to do is to play to your strengths, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't play to their strengths, can you? Because especially at home, because they'll tear you apart and then you cut the space out and then Haaland really doesn't get a kick unless you make a mistake like he did at the end. But yeah, it's difficult. It's just another reminder when you see it and think, wow, it was miles away because they just dominated. And they had a few chances. It was a good game plan.
Yeah.
I it's not a good watch and to think, whoa, it's at least 2 years, this, at least, before this can switch because they're miles in front. And even then, if another manager changes at the end of the year, so you start again. So, who knows? But it's the only thing he could do, and it was going well. Yeah,
it was when they had to make the changes that it fell apart, wasn't it?
And like, so you know, it was poor defending. Manu's got to step out. Lindelof has got to be tighter. You can't show him in onside. If you're showing him inside like that, he's got to be tighter because his left foot is always going to come in on that side. So poor defending. You can't argue that, you know, it's because he's right-footed, Lindelof, so he's going that way. He's defending the way he normally would be, comfortable. So, yeah, give him half a yard, and that's all he needed. It was a very good strike.
And
as well as Marcus Rashford's one. But the second one as well, you know, Casemiro turning like a tugboat. it was goals that could have been stopped, but this is what City do. They tie them out, boom, 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 for 60, 65, 70 minutes, whatever it was. And that's how they get you. I've watched it for years at United do it back in the day, tie you out, and that they get you at the end. It's a game plan. It is a game plan because I know I've seen it happen. So, yeah, it's
they just move you, don't they?
They trust in the process, they believe in themselves. That's why they don't panic. All these great teams did that, the Liverpool teams of the 80s and late 80s and early 90s, they were like that.
Yeah, they just keep moving you, don't they? And fatigue catches up with you. And then when you haven't got that, you know, when you've got players missing, when you've got that sort of bench United have got, like I thought, structurally, they just fell apart once they had to make changes. But also, I thought, you know, the only thing, one thing I would have said, well, there was two things which I thought Ten Hag maybe could have done differently. I thought in the second half, United insisted on every goal kick being short, and then they would lose the ball before they got out of their own half.
Which one of us said Bruno was going to play false nine? Me or you?
Probably me. I'm normally right. no, you did. It was a good call, mate. And I think I thought they looked much better with him as a false nine than Rashford in the middle. It looked more balanced.
More movement. He's got more movement. He's busier. Yeah. You know, he can come in, drop it, get a ball, pass it on. Actually, we can't do that.
Yeah, and he presses and he chases.
He could, but he doesn't. He chooses not to.
He runs. You know, the first goal comes from Bruno running the channel, basically like an old school.
Yeah,
it's
exactly,
a good pass.
Yeah.
It's a good pass from Onana.
Great strike as well. Very good.
Yeah, I mean, all the goals are pretty good. Obviously, Haaland's one is a mistake, but the others are very
good. Yeah, but it's a very good goal. Yeah, he's only touched it once, and it's in the back of the net.
And so, United continually going short in the second half, whereas in the first half, they'd had a bit of success with long passes. Not just long balls, but long passes from the keeper, from Johnny Evans or whoever. And then some of the subs maybe were a bit weird. Like, I thought, if you've got Ahmad there, who's very, very, all right, he's not experienced at Man United, but he's played a lot of league football, should we say, in the Championship last year. But you bring on Forson, who's looked like he struggled a little bit in the first couple of games he's played. He's bright, you know, he's so young and so inexperienced. That was a weird one to me, to bring him on ahead of Ahmad, who at least keeps the ball very well, can be creative, but more so, he's just a bit more experienced and a bit more, you know, he's played more footballs. At that level, or certainly at a higher level than sort of 23s. But I mean, they're little things, you know. Bringing Ahmad on is not going to change the game. I thought they struggled once they had to bring off Johnny Evans. And I mean, that's the story in itself, isn't it? Like, United, whether through injuries or whatever else, are dependent on 52-year-old Johnny Evans. And look, he's been incredible for his age, and I think he's very rarely had a bad game this year. But they shouldn't be, like, he shouldn't be playing for United at where he is in his career. But that's
why you owners in. That's why they're taking up control of football, because the other ones are fucking idiots. Yes. Don't know what they're doing.
Indeed, mate. Lastly on United, then quickly, does Ten Hag have enough in the bank from last year, showing that with his full squad, he can get them playing, they can play some good stuff, they can win things? Does he have enough in the bank to kind of almost say, right, this season isn't your fault, let's move on in the summer, we'll give you some players that you want, we'll get some players you don't want out, and now next season is where you're effectively on trial or playing for your job? Has he got enough in the bank to get that from Ineos?
You can't say that now, because you have to wait to the end of the season. Wait to the season, see how it plays out, where they end up. If they end up six,
got to go, was he?
I don't know if he's got to go, but they've got to have a discussion about it, see who's out there, see what's available, and have that all in place before they start doing anything else, because otherwise it becomes a shit show. So
this is
it all depends on the results now, getting his players back the quicker he can, and hopefully stay fit, and because they're on a good run, so they're a totally different team without Haaland, totally different team.
Yeah, so Martinez
can trap a ball, can do it, but he doesn't want to do it. So it's like a set of railings, bing, just bing, 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 banging off him. So
which brings me on to my next question.
You have to assess it at the end of the season, mate. It's as simple as that. You know, if he comes six, then I would pretty much think he's
done.
He's 529 History Channel.
So. My question is, they've been linked in the papers, which I know is, you know, it's tabloid talk at the end of the day. They've been linked with Gareth Southgate. So you're I'll let you answer first before I give my opinion, mate.
Gareth Southgate?
Gareth Southgate.
No.
And this seems to be the reaction of every...
He's got the most attacking England team I've ever seen. And he's a... What's the right word? He's a wimp.
Yeah.
He's just safe. He can't be Man United manager. He won't. No. But this absolutely is not. It's not going to happen, so let's not talk about it. I'll be putting feelers out and have a look on Twitter now, and probably people getting the same reaction I am.
Yeah, 100%. That team
should have a Euros or a World Cup.
Well, they should win. They should be.
Don't get me wrong. He's done very, 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 very well because he started all this. But, you know, you've got to be ruthless and take risks. Not a risk taker. When you get in them, take a risk and it pay off for you. You've got very good players. But here we go.
So, you know, I've said my thoughts on Southgate before. In the summer, mate, they're going to go to the Euros, and he potentially might not take Maynou, Ward-Prowse, and Maddison. That's not like it wouldn't be that much of a surprise if he doesn't take those three players. And the players that he's likely to take instead of
Henderson.
I said before, mate, I would take Henderson as part of the party, but he will take him
in the squad.
Yeah, he will take him in the squad. I wouldn't, but he would. He will. 100%. I would take him as part of the travelling party, but he wouldn't be in my squad. Because if I'm England manager, my midfield for the next 10 years is Declan Rice, Kobbie Mainoo, and Jordan Bellingham.
Now, see this, I disagree here. You have got to have Phil Foden in that number 10 spot.
Oh, mate, there ain't no way that he's getting in ahead of Jude Bellingham, mate.
Bellingham can do both. Declan Rice there, they can one sit, one goal. They can both do that. They're very, very good at it. Probably the world's best at it. And Bellingham, yeah, you're taking away goals. Blah, 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 blah. He can still do that. He can still get on. He has a license to do that as long as Declan Rice is sitting there. They're a good enough team to do that. It's simple. It's very simple. But I think Phil Foden, he has to be in there.
He can open up doors.
Then you've got the discussion. You're probably going to have a Kyle Saka on the right. Is it Grealish or is it Rashford? Otherwise, one of them is not going to play.
Yeah, Grealish and Rashford.
Who have you got in the middle? Bellingham, Declan Rice.
Yeah, and Maynou, I'd have.
So then you've got either Phil Foden, Grealish, or Rashford sat on the bench.
I'd have Grealish and Rashford on the bench, mate. But I don't even think Rashford's guaranteed to go.
No.
Mate, if I'm looking at that squad this now, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking Rashford or Ivan Toney, I take what's his head from Villa before Rashford, Watkins. Mate, Rashford's attitude has been stinking this year. I don't care what
I understand that, but he's always done well for England, and Gareth Southgate is very loyal. Harry Maguire got picked when he was not playing for United. So he had a bit of time out, but you know, he was at the game against the Derby, seeing a strike like that. You can just do that out of nothing. So you've always got that. So I don't think he's a very good bench player, Marcus Rashford, coming off the bench. So, but then Grealish is both. If he starts, he does well. If he comes on, he does well. So it's a difficult one. But I would have Phil Foden as that number 10.
I wouldn't have him at 10, but I would have him in the side. But, you know, like, don't forget, like, Southgate's got to have Calvin Phillips in there.
Oh, piss off. No. He won't be going in.
You don't think Southgate picks Calvin Phillips, Henderson, and Sterling?
No.
Absolutely, he will. You just said he's loyal.
Yeah, but to people who have played for him, he's not even played.
He loves him, mate.
No. He's done terrible since he's been at West Ham. Terrible.
Yeah, and he's been sent off, and I think he's been sent off once and given away two or three goals directly.
Yeah, exactly. So, no. You take Manu before you take him. And Ward-Prowse and Maddison.
Yeah, exactly. That amazing. And we haven't even got to Maddison and Ward-Prowse and Ollie Watkins and... Like,
and then if you're taking Henderson, what the hell do you need flipping Phillips for?
Yeah, mate, you're talking about the Ajax captain, you know.
I don't care.
Jordan Henderson.
I don't care. He's been playing Saudi Arabia.
So anyway, my original question, would you be happy if they got rid of Ten Hag and brought Southgate in?
No.
So I made a point the other day, I think it was on a members show, so I will repeat it, is if Ineos were looking to like sort of what type of manager they want. They want a manager which invests in youth. They want a manager who plays a certain type of way. They want a manager who's quite like, you know, he's got like strict and he knows how to deal with players. Maybe he's won some stuff. Like Ten Hag does tick a lot of those boxes still. And I think when you look at the potential candidates, I still think he weighs up better than some of the people who are being rumoured, some of them being rumoured to take over. Like I understand De Zerbi looks like someone who maybe has changed the game and he looks like a really interesting choice, but it's a massive risk. Like it's a big step up in terms of the pressure and everything else. Saying, you know, look at what happened with Graham Potter at Chelsea. Look at, like, I just think no one jumps out at me and I'm like, that's the guy who should take over if they get rid of Ten Hag. Even like, I know, like, maybe like you've got like Xavi's leaving Barca, you know, Alonso's leaving Leverkusen. No way Alonso would ever be Manchester United Zidane. Manager. Zidane is one, but I mean, Zidane made people forget, like, he won three Champions Leagues back to back with Real Madrid. And look, it's an incredible side that they had. But he also had some grumbles from those fans as well, because he was a bit pragmatic in some ways. And I don't know, mate. Like, I just think all of them are a risk. Whereas Ten Hag,
Madrid fans moaning after winning the Champions League. Three sides on the balance. That's not like them lot.
I know. They never moan about nothing, do they? Very supportive. It's, look, mate, my point, I guess, is he's partially through rebuilding the side. You can't sort of deny they've had mad injuries this year. And I think the problem is the injuries they've had have been to players which make such a big difference. So like Martinez, Hoyland, they make such a difference, mate. You know, Ben Mason Mount has played like, what, three games or something? They could have got him free in the summer.
Liverpool got a load of injuries and just won a cup.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you, mate. You've got to deal with it. But then you could also say whenever Rodri's been out for Man City, they've lost. So, like, there's certain players which make such a fundamental difference to how a team
Martinez plays. Martinez and Shaw is massive. You have them fit for a season. No one wants to go down that right hand side because they're not going to get anywhere. So
look at what he did last year.
That's a big, big, big miss. Centre forward, first season in the Premier League, young. Big price tag. He didn't score for his first few games, but now he seems to find his feet. But now he's picked up a little injury. So, yes, I hear what you're saying, but maybe to give him a pass because, but you know, he's brought these players in, Antony.
Yeah, mate, that was a mistake. But in fairness to him,
I just said Mason Mount.
Some of those players were brought in because they didn't get him his first choice. So, like, he asked for X player, they didn't get him, and he got someone else. And I guess he went to players that he felt that he knew or could trust.
So you're saying Antony was his second choice?
Yeah, well, I think there was
90 million quid.
Well, they could have got him for 30 million at the start of the summer, couldn't they? And then they didn't because Glazers and Woodward and all, or whoever it was at the time. And then they went back at, like, a week before the window finished and they got caught with 90 million and they needed someone. So they had to pay it. Whereas if they'd done it at the start of the season, at the start of the summer, it cost 30 million. So, and then I think he's not under so much pressure. He's not being judged as a 90 million pound player. And I think it's
if you look at the fixtures, all three of them, Tottenham and Villa have got some difficult games.
Yeah.
Got some real difficult games, but it's a long way. It's a lot of points, and that's for United to win all their games, and they've got some difficult games coming up as well. I just don't see it.
So we had a question earlier from Reese. He said, I got a question for Rod. It might not fit in one message, but he says, when you sign for a club, and you play for their rivals. Are you aware of how much that game means to the fans, and do players treat it differently? Does it mean more to score or to win, or is it just another game that doesn't really have any additional meaning as a player?
I always made a point for a team that I've been at. I don't think it's a team that I've been at and played against and haven't scored against.
Mm.
So, yeah.
It was like an additional motivation almost. Because I remember you saying, even when you went back and played against Cardiff after you had a happy trial period. And when you came off after playing against them, they were like, why didn't you play like that in the trial?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. But I think he means also, so for
instance, we didn't have a game in the trial, it was just training.
Yeah. All right, okay.
This was a game, and yeah. That Cardiff team was pretty good at the time. Like I told you about this, Scott Young and yeah, it was a good
and
team.
Blakey and
Nathan Blake was in the first team.
Mm.
He was in the first team, of course.
Yeah, he's a bit older than Scott, isn't he? Yeah, it's an interesting one, mate. So the next question I kind of wanted to put to you was Arsenal on fire. Do you think that their title push, running, whatever you want to call it, is dependent on them keeping the two centre-backs fit? Because that was what derailed them last year, was the one lad got injured, didn't he, and they just fell apart. Or do you think
some areas are very, very key. Some areas you can plug and some you can't.
Obviously, Declan Rice is there this year in front of the defence, which helps.
Yeah, he could play there. But then that takes away some what he does in the midfield. But yeah, it's just if, buts, and you would think they would go a lot closer with that experience from last year. He seems to be on a good run at the right time. We've got that extra bit of quality with Declan Rice, who seems solid and a very good team player. So yeah, it's probably their best chance, because City will be stronger. Liverpool will be stronger next year, and Arsenal possibly could get stronger if they bought a centre forward. But I still think it's their best chance now, because they're in really good form. They're playing exciting football. It's probably the better
goals.
It's probably the better team you'd rather watch than City and Liverpool.
Mm. So they still haven't got an out and out number nine. Do you think that could potentially cause them a problem? You know, you've got
hasn't the last few games. They've scored like 5 goals, 6 goals. So
no, but I mean, there's only like 2 points between.
You need that focal point. You look at City last year; they didn't have really one, really, did they? And they won the year before.
Yeah.
And then they got Haaland, and then it puts that extra bit of quality into him, and then they get to win the treble. So it's certainly going to strengthen if they add an Ivan Toney or an Ollie Watkins. It's definitely going to strengthen. But definitely. To answer your question is yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Like Haaland, obviously, when Man City were pushing for the treble last year, he was just like a machine, wasn't he? Just week in, week out, just putting those goals away constantly. And then when when squeaky bum time in it and the pressure's on, having that like world-class number nine who just finds you a tap-in or a rebound.
They're the ones in the tight games. But it's good to have a team that spread goals around and not just relying on one person, because that could become an issue.
Yeah,
I would prefer the Arsenal in the way they're doing it. Like I say, City did it.
To get a smeller like TNT product.
Sorry, mate, my screen and decided to turn this off on.
So you've seen the City team do it before Haaland got there. When Haaland come, they were an extra level better, and then they won the treble. So I would think, or you would hope, if Arsenal got a quality centre forward, that would put them on even more on another level. So It looks like a three horse race in a minute, and you know it's going to go down to the wire. Like I say, they all play each other. They've got some difficult games. They play Villa, they play Tottenham, they all play each other, like I say. So Arsenal and United's second last game. So we play Arsenal, then Brighton, our last two games. So
it's tight, mate. There's only a couple of points separating them. Arsenal have won six on the bounce, and they've scored a lot of goals while keeping clean sheets. And I agree with you. I think it's their best opportunity to win the league. You'd like to think that last year, the experience of it, the wheels coming off. When you look back historically, like look at Newcastle, Blackburn, they had it, and even United back in the way back when they won their first Premier League the season before, they just missed out in the last sort of, you know, the last months and stuff. Blackburn, Newcastle, these teams, the same.
Well, the first one was Leeds. The first one, Leeds, there was a game for Leeds, because Leeds won it the year before. And then they were going toe-to-toe with Leeds again. But they've lost Cantona. We've got Cantona. And yeah, they come second, we come first. The next year, it was Blackburn. And then after that, it was Newcastle. Then Arsenal.
But they all, what I mean is they all went close, didn't they, just the season before?
Oh, yeah, and then you could see Blackburn getting stronger that 92-93 year. And then I think they bought Shearer.
Shearer and Sutton up front, didn't they?
Yeah.
And Tim Sherwood, obviously the superstar in the team.
I think he was already there in 92.
Yeah. Here's a question for you then, mate. I'm going to put it to you two ways. So the first way is, would you accept it? And the second way is, would you accept it? Would you be happy with it? And
then, who's this of you?
So Lorna, Reese's mum, says, what about Klopp to United? So before you laugh it off, I know it's not going to happen, right? But if it somehow magically happened and they announced that in the summer Jurgen Klopp signed a 5-year deal with United, would you, as a United fan, be happy with that?
Me?
Yeah.
It's like
Cardiff Swansea.
It just wouldn't happen.
All right, so the example I'll use then is someone said to me the other day, if this manager goes, we should get Steve Cooper as manager. And I said, absolutely not, because he will bring Alan Tait as his assistant, who's an ex-Swansea player who fucking hates Cardiff, and Cardiff hate him. And to the point where at the Millennium Stadium, when they won a playoff or something, he wore a T-shirt of someone pissing on a Cardiff shirt. Like, he would never, ever, ever, ever be accepted as a coach. So that means that if Steve Cooper's going to come, he absolutely cannot bring Tate with him.
Yeah, it's exactly the same,
is it?
Paul Ince won multiple cups, multiple. As soon as he went there, it's over. Same with Michael Owen, vice versa. They don't see him the same anymore.
Well, that's why Ronaldo ended up coming back to United, wasn't it? Because United could not allow him to go to the City, because everything which he achieved with United would have been tarnished just by him.
Do you really think that would have took him?
I think if United didn't come in, he would have gone wherever would have paid him his wage. Honestly, mate, that's what my personal opinion. I think if City was his only option, City would have been where he'd go. But it didn't happen anyway. What about a Jose Mourinho return? Someone in the comments says, would you take that?
No.
Oh, Reece says then, right, there you go. Would you rather Southgate or Klopp?
I'd rather Klopp, but it would never happen.
No. What about Xavi Alonso? Is that the same?
It's the same, mate. Same. Play for Liverpool. It's weird. It's different. If it was City, you wouldn't have the same. Liverpool's. No. It's weird, mate. And they're not bad people, Scousers and that, but Liverpool United, nah.
Yeah, I understand that. Do you know what I think would be a good replacement if they get rid of Ten Hag? I think they should stick with Ten Hag, but if they don't, is Nagelsmann. Looks like he's leaving. I think he's leaving Germany in the summer. I would take. Before he left Bayern Munich were top of the league. Look at him now. And he only got sacked because he was having a he had a relationship with a female reporter. Like, but you know, there's so many different players, but
they try and ruin it for everything. Look at this geezer in F1.
Just ruin it.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, it is what it is, mate. Right, what are we looking? 20 minutes. So what we're going to do, mate, we'll do our predictions now, and then we'll do top 10 best Premier League.
20 minutes, what did you say then?
Yeah, about 20 minutes to go. So we'll do predictions, because we'll have a good chat about these top 10 Premier League goals of all time, mate, because I'm interested who made your list.
Come on, then.
Right, let's have a look at these Super 6 predictions for the weekend. It's going to be painful.
I'm just going to get a league title up to the league, see how many points are in front of
me. We're all right, mate. We haven't got time. Don't
worry about it.
I got done like a kipper last night.
You even on 300 yet?
Probably not. To be honest, mate, yesterday I was like on the brink.
Oh, there you go, 301. So, 301.
I had 15 points, mate, at one point towards the end yesterday, and I was like, I'm going to text him now, the bastard. And then I left it, and I woke up this morning, and I had about 5. Fucking shite.
Right, so you're 36 points behind.
Oh, that's only 1 week, mate. Come on.
1 week.
1 week, all 5 correct answers. Plus,
oh, my God.
Take my 100 grand, be happy. Right, first game, Wolves at home to Fulham. I've gone 2-1 to Wolves.
Fulham on a bit of a... I'm going to go 2-1 Fulham. Fulham been playing well.
Fair enough. Crystal Palace at home to Luton. It's a tricky one, that, isn't it?
1-0 Palace.
I've gone 2-1 Palace. Then we got Bournemouth to Sheffield United. I've gone 3-0 Bournemouth. And then Arsenal at home to Brentford.
4-2 Arsenal.
Shout. So I went 4-2 for Arsenal, but I'll change it for the sake of this. So I'll go 4-1 Arsenal.
Copy me now. See what I mean? You're not going to catch me up if you copy me, aren't you?
Well, I changed, didn't I? 4-1 Arsenal. Villa versus Spurs. I gone 2-1 Villa. It's at Villa, so I think...
I'm going to go 2-2.
Good shout. And then we've got Liverpool versus City. I've gone 2-2 in that. Who you got there, mate? Come on. Liverpool, Arsenal. Don't think it'll be 0-0. I could say that much, but it's definitely going to be 0-0 now. It's a very hard one to call that, isn't it?
What have you done?
I went 2-2.
I'm going to go 1-1.
1-1. Right. So, to finish off this evening, we do a different top 10 list where we just debate and we try and choose. And if we can't sort of agree, we'll put it to the people. But what did we do last week? Top 10. I can't even remember what it was. Top 10 worst transfers of Premier League era, or something like that. So this week we're going top 10 Premier League goals of all time. So
top 10.
Only of the Premier League era as well, so no Division One and going back that far.
Fucking old, you think I am?
Very. right. What my number 10 is Jack Wilshere versus Norwich when they just ping it all about, and it's just beautiful. It's just bang, bang, bang. One touch. I think he plays a 1-2 with Ramsey to finish, and then just that beautiful little finish. It was a literal, like, I'm not Arsenal's biggest fan, but it was a joy to watch. Like everything which you enjoy about football, speed, skill.
Most of these are going to be United game, United goals.
Of course, because you're a United fan, mate. I understand that. What have you got at number? What have you got at number 10?
Goals. Then the first one, I'm going to go number 10, Tony Yeboah.
Oh yeah, I got him at number 9. Go on. The one off the crossbar, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah. And he turns to the camera. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, Tony Yeboah, Leeds versus Wimbledon, 1995.
Number nine.
So I went, yeah, my number nine's Tony Yeboah. What's your number nine?
Number nine, I've got a couple of Wayne Rooney's, so I'm going to go, this is my first one.
Okay.
I'm going to go... The Newcastle one where he's arguing and chatting to the ref. It's going bang.
The anger behind that volley is...
Number nine, yeah. That's my first sort of two of Wayne Rooney. Yeah.
So number eight for me is Alan Shearer's volley versus...
Everton.
Villa, I think it is, where he just comes out of the
air. Foot volley.
Pings it. Keepers just...
Side foot volley one.
Yeah, I think it was that one.
Leverton.
Was it? I thought it was Villa, but I'll take your word for it, mate. So who you got number eight?
Can't think of goals. Got to have a Thierry Henry one there, haven't you? The one against Tottenham where he just takes on all the team.
Well, when he does that little turn, no, that's Bergkamp, that was, wasn't it?
He takes on all, not literally gets on the right and just takes on all the team and then just slides it in with his left foot. Mm. Takes about four or five people on, just, yeah,
beautiful. So my number seven is Paolo Di Canio's scissor, like the scissor kick. What a goal, mate! That is, what a goal versus Wimbledon again, 1999 special season, and yeah, just that like. Both feet off the air, off the ground, scissor kick.
Yeah, very good.
Number seven,
I'm going to go Eric Cantona. The Sheffield United one or the Sunderland one? The Sunderland one is where he does it and then just turns around as if to go, I do that every day. What are you on about?
He did one against Palace, mate, as well.
The Sheffield United one, they have a corner. We win it, throw it out to the winger. I think it's Arkin, actually. Then he takes it on, passes it to Cantona, and then Cantona chips it, and it hits the bar and goes in. And then he just gives it that one again. Mm-hmm. Which one? I would have to say the Sheffield United one, even though the Sunderland one is what you see the most on the TV. The Sheffield United one, Eric Cantona against Sheffield United at Bramall Lane. It's windy night, and the way he chips it, it's precise. They're wearing the blue and white kit, and yeah, it goes off the bar, and the fans, it just goes sick. Yeah, at number seven.
Number six, I've got Matt Le Tissier versus Newcastle, where he chips it over one, chips it over the two, and then he looks like he's going to smash it, and he kind of like just side foots it on the half volley. Just beautiful. And like, mate, the kids of today just do not realize how good a player he was. Big fish in a small pond, I gather. But some of the goals he scored, mate, were flipping insane. So that's my number, was it six or five? I can't remember.
Just had one in the head, then, but it's gone. Oh, Dennis Bergkamp against Newcastle.
Yes, number five.
You don't know that one, where it's a bad touch, but he turns it around into a great goal. No, I supposedly meant it, but you see him score a goal like that because he had that in him. Very good goal.
So number four for me.
Are we at number four? Well, that was six.
No. So next was going to be my number five, which was the Bergkamp one. So
okay, sweet.
It's not the Bergkamp one, sorry, the Thierry Henry one, which you had said earlier. Actually, I'll change it. Thierry Henry, the volley which he scores against United is my number five. Yeah, what a goal that is. Just the crispness of it. And Barthez.
We did have a midget in net.
Yeah, Barthez, he just like stood there thinking, what?
If you say that, dwarf or small person.
It was your number five then.
Number five is. Let's have someone else. Let's have.
Getting down to the nitty gritty now, isn't it?
No, yeah. Do what I put a Matt Letizia in one, though. So I probably said I was going to put a Matt Letizia in one. So that. We'll have that as five, the one what you described, the one where he puts it over to the other side, the other foot, and just, yeah.
Mm.
He scored some good goals in there.
Yeah, I made some. Do you remember that the lob he does as well from the edge of the box?
You can see some great goals. He was like Mark Hughes, he was a scorer of great goals.
Oh, mate, that volley which Mark Hughes scored, it was in Division One, so we can't have it on this list against, I think it's against Man City, actually.
Man City, we got beat 5-1, and that was the goal that United scored.
What a goal it was. So number four for me, I'm going to go with Eric. I think it was against Palace. Eric Cantona's chip from the edge of the box. I might have that wrong though. Against who it was against,
and he chip just, green volley.
No, he's on the edge of the box and he just chips it, like just chips the keeper, and then just sort of gives it the old.
That's the one I was talking about. No, Sunderland. No, Sheffield United.
Possibly, mate. I might be getting confused because there's a few Cantona ones in there.
The one that he scored at Sellers Park was not against Crystal Palace. It was against Wimbledon.
Right, okay. That might be it. I'll tell you what then. I'll change it to David Beckham's halfway line goal against Wimbledon. That's my number four. That was...
Yeah. That was going to be my number three.
Okay.
But my number four is Robin Van Persie's volley. From Wayne Rooney's pass.
Pete, mate, I think people sometimes, like people maybe who haven't played a lot of football, well, whatever level, like that is such a difficult skill to take it like a pass that long and that high and that far out on the run and hit it so cleanly that the keeper's just like, no chance. Yeah, mate, that's a special, special goal. Another special goal, which is my number three, is Wayne Rooney's overhead kick against Manchester City.
Got one. Both of them got one exact same. That's
yeah. There's some goals which are obviously going to cross over, mate. And like number three for me is that Wayne Rooney goal. Is just the timing of it, the ability to get that high up, and that again, like he's so. I know you'll see like rival fans saying. He hit it with a shin and the rest of it. Like, the man's upside down with his feet, like, 6 feet in the air or whatever. Like, it's such a good goal. I got a bit of a surprise, mate, for number two. But what's your number three?
Number three is Ruud van Nistelrooy against Fulham.
Oh, when he dribbles through and then he dribbles around the keeper.
Correct.
Beautiful, mate. Beautiful, beautiful goal, that is. So my number two, mate... I'm partial to a bit of a chip, so maybe I'm.
Like, I like it.
Raise me.
This is why number one is my number one.
Philip Albert for Newcastle.
I can't have that as number two.
Yes, mate. Come on, that's beautiful. But look, there's so many choices. You're never going to agree. I don't think.
Yeah. David Beckham for me number two.
Halfway line.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few free kicks you could probably stick in there as well, isn't there? And like, we haven't really talked about free kicks. There's all sorts of people taking...
Ronaldo could be in there for talking free kicks.
Honourable mention, Risa, the goal against United off the bar. Rashford's goal from the other day, I think, could probably be in there. And Foden's, like, they were very, very good goals. There's been a few in recent years. My number one, though, mate, is Garnacho's goal this season. I just think that was unreal, mate. And I know, like, sometimes because it's recent, like, you almost write it off. But, mate, I honestly, like, one of the best goals I've ever seen.
My number one is an Aston Villa's player. And can you name the player?
Paul Merson.
Aidan Atkinson.
Oh, mate. Yes. What a player.
Aidan Atkinson finishes with a chip and a very, very good how he celebrates with a guy, with a fan running on the pitch and with an umbrella over him. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's no longer with us. So, yeah for me, Aidan Atkinson, number one. What a goal. Gets in his own half, takes people on, gets to the edge of the box and has the composure just chip it. Very good goal.
Yeah, a couple of honourable mentions. I think it's Emre Can for Liverpool. I think it was against Watford. Maybe...
Crouch. He scored some overhead kicks.
Papa Cisse, that one for Newcastle when he's on like the left wing and he like half volleys it with the outside of his foot and it just sort of curls into the far
corner. Sure, there's Ronaldo goal somewhere.
The Ronaldo free kick against...
Portsmouth.
That is one of the most unstoppable free kicks I've ever seen.
what about one of the players goes to David James? Come on, mate. He goes, what the fuck?
What are you supposed to do with that? Like, I'm trying to think of some other ones, which I'm sure Henri's got a couple more in there. Shearer probably scored a couple. Harry Kane scored a couple.
Yan Ming Son. Some of the goals he scored from his own half.
Didn't Rooney score a volley from his own half against West Ham?
Against West Ham, yeah. Did bounce about five times before it went in the net. The fucking keeper fell over.
Oh, I tell you who scored some bangers, mate, but probably doesn't get like the notoriety for it. It's Andros Townsend has scored a couple of absolute worldies.
Robbie Fowler, Michael Owen.
Yeah, Robbie Fowler was partial to a little chip, wasn't he?
Robbie Fowler had some very good finishes, left foot, right foot. He was a proper striker, mate. Proper. Dangerous. Any chance, boom, goal.
Oh, mate, Gareth Bale. You know, he's many a worldie. Who else we got? I mean, Van Persie was such a clean striker at a ball. I'm sure that you could probably make a top 10 list of just his goals on his own.
Ian Wright, Andrew Cole, Dwight York. There's loads, mate. There's loads of so many good players. See how we've not made that night. We've named all them good players, but we hardly named any in this that now we're in.
Mm. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? But I think there's a bit of like you almost look back at the past, like you know, it's like that.
Most of them grew up playing on the street. Now you're against these academy players and growing up totally different. So that's why we get all is this way. They're very rare to see these.
It's all very technical now, isn't it?
These Phil Fodens or you know these street ballers.
Very well, like rare. The one I always use for like a street baller is Ronaldinho, isn't it? Like he just typifies that. Like
Wayne Rooney.
Exactly that, mate. Yeah. 100%. So I think next week's list, mate, I'm going to put this out there, see if you're up for it, should be top 10 most important goals in Premier League history. Mm. So, like, goals which made a difference. So, I mean, you can open it up if you want to open it up to the Champions League. I just think it's easier if you do keep it to the Premier League because it's obviously you open it up to World Cup, Champions League and the rest of it. So, like, you could have... It was the Arsenal player who scored that goal against Liverpool back in the day. Might have been pre-Premier League, though. That was
Michael Thomas,
that's the one. You know, and you got the Steve Bruce double and you know, there's a few over the years. And there's Steven Gerrard scored. Maybe we should open it up to all tournaments because I think if you open it up to the Champions League, the World Cup, things like that, like there's loads, isn't there? And that'll be... Maybe that'll be a bit.
How can you find 10 out of all them? There's loads. You could have 10 with each different ones.
Yeah, true. But we'll have a think, mate. We'll come up with another top 10 list. I enjoyed the conversation, mate, and a bit of nostalgia. I think he was French. His surname began with K, and he played for, I want to say, Tottenham. Maybe he played for West Ham at some point as well.
Canute.
That's it. And he scored a goal against Everton or Birmingham? Everton, I want to say. And it was just 30 yards out. And it's like bobbling around and kind of like just flicks up to him. And he just runs onto it, right foot, curling, dipping. What a goal, mate. Beautiful. Makes me want to go and watch all these goals, you see. Mate, we could do like some of these players, like Matt Letizia.
You know, watch any. Watch my number one, Dalen Atkinson. What a goal. Yeah.
But we could watch like Wayne Rooney, Van Persie, or like Letizia, like all these people. They'd have top 10 goals. If you went and looked at their top 10 goals, they'd probably make a list like as good as this list on their own. So, yes, I know. I enjoy these little things to chat at the end, mate.
Nice one.
Always good. Always a pleasure. What do you think about Mike Tyson fighting Jake Paul, mate? Tell me what you think in one word.
I hope he punched his head in. Because if he gets beat, then it's all over, isn't
it? Yeah, you can put it all to bed then, can't we, and move on.
Yes.
But Francis Ngannou versus Anthony Joshua tomorrow, mate, as well.
Joshua by points. Just going to jab his head off.
Well, I think he'd make a... I think it would be an error if he tries to... toe to toe with him.
Okay.
You'd like to think, or I would think, that his coaches and stuff have warned him that, look, he rocked Fury. The last thing you want to do is go and get knocked out, isn't it?
To be fair, Josh has got a good chin too. So depends where you get it. You get it on that temple. By one of them big fellas. Oh, with Bobos. Even on the jaw.
Yeah. I know, like, you know, Anthony Joshua is a quality technical boxer and he should just jab his head off, shouldn't he? But, like, there is something to it where you look at Francis.
Like me, do what I'm doing at Super 6 every week. Jab, 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 jab it. Blah, 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 blah. Bah, 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 bah.
Oh, mate, I've knocked you out for 2 years. Come on. Got to, like,
I had to get out. I've got these small, like, camping binoculars. I had to get out to see the list. You're that far down. I eventually got you. Woohoo! There he is. Number 60 summit.
gotta let you have your glory, mate, at some point.
Oh, my God. Finally tuned in.
Guys.
Missing a weekend. You're just like religious. What, like, you see? Like, I didn't know he's this serious. So now I'm tuned in and you've seen the results.
Two time. Right, guys, we'll be back next Thursday at usual 8 o'clock. Make sure you check out the channel. Loads of different podcasts come in with some very interesting people from different eras, music, football, whatnot. Got a few good footballers coming. So, some historic ones as well, like from back in the day. So should be good stuff. But make sure you check it out. If you're a Cardiff City fan, make sure you check out Cardiff City World. And if not, we'll see you next
week. In a bit, mother.
Sports Social Podcast Network.